Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Why is gold pushing to all-time highs? Simply because the cost of living is up almost 18% since 2021. The $34 trillion national debt has investors worried when this house of cards will come crashing down. This is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold and to see how Birch Gold can help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
David Edward served as a special agent in the U.S. Army in the 1980s and 90s and is a veteran of multiple overseas combat tours. He was the special agent in charge of the 1990 Panama Canal Counterterrorism Threat Assessment Report to the U.S. Congress. He's a graduate of the United States Army Intelligence School, where he studied advanced human intelligence and battlefield counterintelligence, also completing training at the Jungle Operations Training Center in Panama, Central America. He holds advanced degrees in engineering, including a doctorate in engineering, 3 related Masters of Science degrees, and has an undergraduate degree in business. He's the author of scores of books. Here's just a sampling: a series called A Short History Of, which includes volumes on the Coral Castle, the Maya, and DMT, and his latest, Atlantis Solved, the Final Definitive Proof. David Edward, welcome back to Coast. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you, Richard? It's really great to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you. And it's great to have you aboard. First of all, because this whole arena is so, you know, well trodden, how do you even, and as I mentioned, you're a physical historian, you're a researcher, you're familiar with the peer reviewed process. How do you even begin to review the research in this area? Because is there any quote unquote serious academic research to review?
Well, you know, that's a good opening question. Typically, if you have an academic mindset or frame or methodology, the very first thing you do is you do what they call a literature review when you have decided that you have questions. A challenge with Atlantis, and it's where I came with that term physical historian. I really struggled on what to call myself. The approach we took with Atlantis was to kind of turn it around. And usually people look at it and they see if they can find evidence that leads them to, maybe find pieces of the story. We said, you know what, let's have an assumption, and that's okay, you're allowed to have assumptions as long as you state them. Let's assume that what Plato says, the physical attributes of what Plato says, well, let's assume he's right, or at least he thinks he's right. So if we assume all this stuff exists, is there a way to go start looking for it? And the approach there was to take all of the academic knowledge that we have and the data. There's lots of data, and many people have looked for it, and use the data, but feel very comfortable reaching our own conclusions. So we're not going to use established conclusions, but we are going to use established data. And when we did that, and we were very lucky because we have a lot of technical tools, we have a lot of technology that people in the past, even just that, I mean, people who were looking for Atlantis in the 90s, 1990s and before, I mean, they didn't have the Google that we have and the Google Earth and the LIDAR and all the different places that we can look. So when you go start grabbing all of those tools and you start with the dialogues as the physical aspects as true, you just have to kind of push the other stuff away and do the research from the beginning, which is what we did.
So you're very quick to credit Jim Corsetti, a fellow veteran, and his work on identifying the location of Atlantis and David Stig Hansen as well. Just tell us a little bit about these two gentlemen and I guess what they kind of pieced together in 2018, which we're not able to prove definitively.
Yeah, and thank you. I always try and mention them because I'm not the sole author. None of us really are the sole anything anymore. There's so much information out there. But yeah, Jimmy Corsetti, he has a YouTube channel called Bright Insight. And Richard, you're a young guy, so you don't know this, but I'm a little old. And it turns out the old guys can't sleep sometimes. So I was awake one night and I had...
I'm beginning to have that problem.
Well, it's in front of you. Let's just say it's in front of you. So I listened to all of the Coast to Coast AM weekend shows and all of the Strange World podcasts that I could. And YouTube handed me one of Jimmy's videos about Atlantis. And I was like, I watched it. Actually, I watched it 3 or 4 times. I'm like, I think this guy's onto something. But, he's coming at this as a well-intending layperson, as opposed to someone who can kind of knows how to combat the academic side and knows how to present data as evidence, not just as intriguing stuff. And then I later learned I was contacted by David Stig Hansen, who actually is the one who sent Jimmy the original picture of this Rishat structure thing, which is what Jimmy has kind of made his name, being a proponent of it. But David Stig Hansen, and David's been there a couple times. Last time he was there was in October. And so he and I talk, and when he goes there, there's a number of things that we look for. He's going to go back again this year. So I definitely always credit them, and thank you for bringing them up, because it starts with them, and then what I want to do is seal the deal. Because with Atlantis, we've all fallen, and we continue to fall for the standard Atlantis pitch, which is, whether it's a book or a TV show or a feature-length documentary, is roughly the first half is kind of this whole setup where you see beautiful people in Greek islands and scuba diving, and they kind of convince you they figured it out. And then the second half is, well, we got to change this, or maybe the years are wrong, or none of these 7 places line up, but they're all interesting, and then it kind of fades away. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to come up with an answer. And with all those tools I mentioned and having the work of Jimmy and David to start with, I was able to come up with what I think is, I'm calling it a hypothesis or a view of Atlantis that's unified, which was something else I wanted to do. I wanted to have a unifying theory. When I first did the work on the Rishat, and it matches Plato, we'll get into all of that, I started telling people very naively. And the journey for me in all of this is learning how to communicate fairly complex topics around data that people hear lots of different ways, and how do you communicate a new idea in that space. And I'm still learning how to do that, and talking to you and other people kind of helps me, because it's very hard. You think it's easy, and you think, you just say, well, here's the answer, and then everyone's just going to jump on board. But that's not the Atlantis space at all. Atlantis is lots of things to lots of people.
And right. I mean, I don't know if the term fanboys is appropriate here, but there, I mean, the legions of people that imbue the Atlantis legend with, I guess, all of their own sort of personal hopes and aspirations and all of that. And we, free energy and flying cars, and they had nuclear submarines, and they had a death ray and all of that. So, I mean, here you wade into this with this very analytical mind, and it's, it ends up being still a remarkable story, but perhaps far more, prosaic or, people are bound to be sort of disappointed, right?
Well, they are. And part of it is because I'm not very good explaining it. And so, I'll do my best, but Atlantis, what I believe Atlantis actually was in that 99.32%, we have a hypothesis around Atlantis that doesn't require us to change anything we know about our history. Well, doesn't require, we reinterpret our history, but we're using data that's well established, and it treats, you know, Plato kind of respectfully. And what happens is it becomes a very harmonious answer. Because, I mean, if you look, some people think Atlantis is the Rishet thing, which is where I think that's the capital, but we're also told there are 10 provinces. So some people like Doggerland, Cadiz in Spain, the Sousse Mesa in Morocco, they like the Canary Islands, Cape Verde, people like the Azores, like the Bimini Road, they like the Aztecs in Mexico. And I think the truth of the matter is when you look at the provinces of Atlantis, which we have, it's basically an early version of a king's list, which became a historical norm, but we're dealing with a story, this kind of prehistory. There is a way, the king's list paints a kingdom, and it paints a technological progression that we've mapped out. And you mentioned the book, and I appreciate that. I've also got the YouTube channel, A History Of. I think I've got 29 videos on this, and I pretty much walk anyone who's willing to spend 7 hours listening to me talk on videos. I walk into the very start of this, where did the story come from, all the way to the discoveries we've made on ground and all the physical evidence that kind of answers the kingdom.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons for that. The cost of goods continue to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January of 2021, the cost of living is up almost 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down, a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and this is why so many Americans are turning to the Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from the Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket to do that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, tens of thousands of happy customers. You can count on Birch Gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
All right, so let's basically let the cat out of the bag, and then we'll sort of work backwards from there, because you mentioned it already, the Rishat structure, a.k.a. the Eye of the Sahara. There, I said it. This is Corsetti's, David Stig Hansen's, identifying the location in the Western Sahara of Africa. It's not submerged. It's right there in the middle of the Western Sahara Desert. Just kind of give us a description of, I mean, what does it look like today?
Sure. And remember, we're talking about the capital city. This is one of the things that we have done with Atlantis is everyone wants to win, in air quotes. And so the big bet, and I did a survey, by the way, so I was curious, you know, what do people believe? And of the survey, I think I had like 2,000 people respond. I did it on Reddit, so it is what it is. But about half the people did think it was the this Rishat structure in the Western Sahara. About 33% think it's the Azores, and then the rest kind of think it's everything else. When you look at the Rishat structure, and there are some key points we'll get into. We can go into the dialogues. One of the key dimensions that's given in the dialogues that's often disregarded, or Yeah, disregard. Is that right? Disregarded. However you
say it. Yes.
Yep. Okay, good. Is that it says that the capital city sat at the end of a gently sloping plain to the sea of 3,000 stadia. And this is a line that's in there. And you have to do a lot of work around what a stadia is and all of that. Turns out one measure you can use for a stadia is the Alexandrian measure, which would have been what Plato would have used in his lifetime, because both Plato and Alexander the Great were alive at the same time, about a decade. So I think Alexander was 11 when Plato died. But this, so you multiply the 606.9 feet, which is what a stadia is, so 607 feet to make easy math, multiply that by 3,000, and you get 345 miles. And that's how far inland the Rishat structure sits. So that was like my first clue. And it's a gentle slope. You can measure a slope. It's basically the rise over the run. So you can take the run, which is 345 miles, and the rise, we know it sits about 1,500 feet above sea level. That puts the slope well below 1%, which fits the category of a gently sloping, gentle slope to the sea. There would have been a river. We're at a time when it's very much the Green Sahara. And then we found that there's lots of physical remnants we found on the ground around the Rishat structure. But as you mentioned, what it looks like, the big thing with the Rishat structure is it looks like Atlantis. It's the only place on Earth I've seen that meets those dimensions of a center island and then alternating concentric rings of water and land. And you can just type in Eye of the Sahara or Rishat structure in Google or DuckDuckGo or whatever you use to search. Go to the images and you'll see hundreds of images of the thing. So it's got that look. And then all the other measurements you can start to line up. And then when you start with this in the center, this area, which we'll call Atlas because he's the first king and this is the capital. I mean, it aligns people like the Dogon tribe who know all about the Dog Star. We find petroglyphs showing chariots in the Western Sahara they didn't have any answers for. Well, we're told that they had a lot of farms in Atlantis, and one of the things they had to do is every farm had to contribute 1/6 of a chariot. So, once you can establish that first location, just about everything else lines up, and you start to understand what was going on at the time, which is this transitory exchange of information, people who are able to traverse the Atlantic and trade ideas and come back, which, of course, is very important to any trip.
But I would just assume that after all this time, the desert would have completely overtaken anything visible. Like, isn't it buried underneath the sand? I mean, what actually can you see?
That's a good question. So the Rishat is basically bedrock. So what I believe happened, and the general consensus is that this thing is a collapsed volcanic dome, like a mud volcano, which fits kind of perfectly to this story. We know Plato tells us in the dialogues that one of the things they had to do was when they were digging the channels for the boats to come in, they had to dig them 300 feet wide and 100 feet deep, which we all do today. You know, any canal or waterway, you have to constantly clear the silt out so the boats can get through. But we know that he told us it's 100 feet, so we know there was at least 100 foot of topsoil. If you look at where the Rishat is, and then you look just a hair more than halfway between where it sits and where the Atlantic Ocean is, there are a series of mud hills that are very tall. And I believe that Atlantis was the first recorded mud flood, which is basically the conditions that we're given. We're told, if a tsunami, if saltwater came up the river, it flooded the volcano, liquefied it. We have a mud flood scenario. It slides down. We can see where those hills are. And for me, I think that's where we should start digging. People always want to know where to dig. We know that a shawl of mud blocked the waterway, so it aligns to the dialogues. And then frustratingly, the country of Mauritania, through a shell company, has been strip mining this area. And they're just mud hills. There isn't really any reason to be strip mining here, but they've been strip mining since 2006. So I think culturally they found the remnants are there and they've been collecting them and destroying them like happens to a lot of our history.
Oh dear Lord! Perhaps it could be arguably one of the greatest archaeological finds in history, and they're strip mining it as we speak.
They're strip mining it as we speak. Yeah, the workers revolted in like 2013, and it's been inconsistently operated since then. But if you look at the map and you find you go out halfway and you look at these mud hills, you can see the giant open strip mine. It's a Mauritania copper mine, Inc. which is a Shell subsidiary of some Canadian company. But it's classic energy, you know, big energy coming in. They do this everywhere. But, yeah, they're strip mining where I believe the remnants of the city ended up. Now, we have lots of places to look, and there's lots of things they can't destroy. But, you know, if we're going to find anything, we're going to find writing or anything, it's going to be where the remnants of the city sank below the waves. This area of Africa would have been underwater for years after a tsunami hit. And it's above water now, but it's in the Western Sahara.
All right, so let's get into the Plato dialogues, which Critias and Timaeus, dialogues.
It's Critias and Timaeus. I will say Timaeus, because if Timaeus. I try and say Timaeus, I'll stumble and I'll sound stupid, and I just say it.
That's okay.
You know, I know I'm mispronouncing it. I mispronounce lots of things, but this one I know I'm doing, but I have to. So.
All right, so we got about 3 minutes here before the break, okay. So we'll just start. We'll get into it slowly now, and then we'll come back after the break and discuss further. But so why was Plato, in his dialogues, talking about Atlantis in the first place?
Well, Plato is recording conversations that his teacher Socrates had. And what Plato is generally trying to do is two things. He's trying to capture what he thinks is important thoughts and emerging thoughts through Socrates. And then he's always trying to figure out if there's a way to understand whether governmental structures and how people manage themselves, is there a right and a wrong to it? Or is it just always whoever's in charge sets the rules and we all have to kind of fall in line? And that's what he's always struggling with, those two things. And I guess he found the story of Atlantis compelling enough in both regards that he captured him. I can tell you, interestingly, with Critias, there's actually two Critiases. And there's a whole story around Critias, which we can get into maybe when we come back. It's still longer than however long I have left here.
Right. So some people have basically sort of blown off the whole idea of Atlantis, the existence of Atlantis, and argued that Plato was simply using it as an allegory. It was supposed to be some sort of a cautionary tale. Is that the idea?
Yeah, and that's certainly in there. And remember, Plato wasn't doing anything. Plato was recording what Socrates, conversations Socrates has. So Socrates was having conversations where Atlantis was being used as an allegory. And that's certainly in there. But the allegorical components, I mean, look, like I tell people, the fact that Poseidon married a mountain girl, that's great, but I'm not going to go try and find where they got married. I can't deal with that from an Atlantis standpoint. So that's why we did the assumption we are going to look for the physical aspects of what he's talking about. The rest of it, I don't know. I don't know. And, you know, I mean, that's not my thing. My thing is, physically, is it possible for it to have existed? And if so, what conditions would have to be met? What technologies would they have to have? And where is it? And that's kind of where my focus is.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.